My T cells will not be seen and will return next week. Stay tuned as WSWN brings you the following live presentation of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Guest is intended for entertainment purposes only. Opinions expressed by the host and guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the podcast or its affiliates. Content may include adult language or themes and is not suitable for all audiences. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live in high-definition video and available on all podcasting and streaming platforms. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And now, it's time for the Shining Wizards.
You are watching.
The Shining Wizards.
Wrestling Podcast.
Alright, welcome to episode 796 of the Shining Wizards Podcast, where at least two of us know the difference between 40 and 50 is 10, and not 50. Anywho, we got a jam-packed show tonight as Jack Cartwheel tumbles in at 7:30. Plus, we got pick updates for real this week as we give our thoughts on Clash at the Italy, not Kingdom. I keep wanting to say Clash at the Kingdom. We also got AEW, AAA, and so much more. So hit that subscribe button as we get into some wrestling talk.
Talk about wrestling.
Brundo.
Double T.
And Kevin.
You said, when you were trying to say pick updates, I thought you meant like pick updates, and I'm like, what? What the fuck is Brundo talking about?
I don't know. I was about halfway to stroking out there, so you know.
not on live. Come on, brother. We're a family show.
It'll get easy for you to say.
I fucking made it there, man. I fucking made it there. Yeah. So until you leave that gargantuan dong alone there.
another week and another. Where's Tony?
He'll be here. He'll be
at
here.
Least we know this time.
Now, will he just show up, or like if Jack Cartwheel's on, he won't just join mid interview, right? And that'll be his excuse for missing half the show this week.
It's a good excuse if we're in, you know, if we're halfway through an interview. It's fair to say like, oh, I don't want to like jump in the middle. Hey, Jack, I'm Tony. Suck my dick.
that would be, if he did that, you'd want him to show up.
Well, yeah, that too.
Now, I'm also just going to put this out. I would not be upset if Magenta showed up. It's been a while since we've seen Magenta.
It wouldn't be a bad, like, if we're flowing, right? It's one thing, but like, you know, maybe we're not flowing so well. Maybe Jack is not the personality we need him to be. Tony shows up and says, "Hi, Jack, I'm Tony. Suck my dick."
I feel like Magenta is more of a winter thing. I can't imagine how that mask feels in the summer.
It's an all season.
Can I propose something else too? Since Tony's not here and he can listen back to this and call us all motherfuckers. I think the intro with the pictures, I think we need to change that up. I think we need I have a zillion pictures with wrestlers. And I'm sure you guys do too. Like, let's change it up here. Tired of seeing fucking Matt from 20, 30 years ago, his big old ears hanging out with Jim Cornette. Let's change it up, Tony.
Well, I mean, this is the first time you've brought it up. You know, you haven't given us the opportunity, right? You could have just said, hey, Tony, I think maybe we could switch it up a little bit.
Yeah, we got 800 coming. Maybe wait for 800 to switch it up.
I see. Well, I finally changed the fucking background on the text chat. I know you're not privy to this, HK, but every text I had Kate and the word Kate's face and the word period underneath it. It was hard for me to see.
Now we're talking about Golden Gate Kate.
Yes, Golden Gate Kate. Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. I didn't know. I thought maybe there was some rando Kate.
No. So it feels like a lifetime ago since we were here.
It does.
Like here or...
Like doing the show, like I feel like last Monday is so was unusually further away. It feels like,
I guess, because you had the rest of Monday off, right? You can just hang out, and then it makes it feel like a full day instead of, you know, the normal after get to work Tuesday and ride into the week. I like a schedule though. Like I love being on a schedule. I love this is I know where I'm going to be, when I'm going to be doing there, what I'm going to be doing there. So last week, loved it, had a great time. But I'm glad to be back on Monday night.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Although I did have a good time last week.
Yeah, of course. Well, Tony did tap out. We did a watch along. Tony, he kind of tapped.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I don't understand why.
I had fun.
Yeah, I had the car commercials were great. Do you think Tony thought we were doing like a Mystery Science Theater?
I think that was the idea.
Oh, was it really? I didn't know. I thought we were supposed to pick out voices for each character. Is that?
No, not to that extent. But the idea was we were going to watch it and make fun of it.
Okay, gotcha. That type of thing.
Right. Another good reason to pick USWA. We don't want to watch something good.
Well, sure you do.
I don't know. It's more fun to watch something bad and make fun of it, I feel. We watch good wrestling all week, sort of.
Yeah. You can still make fun of the good stuff.
Yeah.
How you guys doing?
Thumbs up.
I'm great.
Yeah, doing good.
All right.
I'm doing just terrific. Double T. How are you?
I'm groovy, man. I'm groovy. I'm living the dream.
All right. I don't want to say run a fly. I know what you did there in that open in the intro, in the 40 and 50. Bad dog. Just bad dog.
Just to also, say, when she said 40, 50 or whatever, 50 fillet, I knew instantly what she meant.
You did too. Okay.
Instantly.
Yeah. Old literal HK over here just went a different route with it, I guess.
Yes, that's fine.
Well, they also don't pump their own gas. Like they have to do, they don't have somebody. They pump their own gas. So the term like 50 fillet, like I don't know what you guys are talking about. But I would assume 50 fillet means put $50 worth of gas in my motor
vehicle. No, it's the it's get off my lawn on Tots this week here.
All you guys do is bitch and moan.
Oh, oh, the fuck we do.
What are you complaining about now?
I wasn't complaining about anything. I was at a brewery and this lady was being a real bitch to me. And
hard to believe.
Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out why all of us were. It wasn't like an isolated. It wasn't, you know, she was a bitch to everybody. It was just me and our group. We had like seven in our group. Well, nobody could understand why. I'm delightful. So they had like this. I'm pretty delightful. You give me that look. I'm pretty delightful. They had this like keg, right? Like a mini keg. And it was a growler. And you could it was insulated and you could fill it up. Right. It was their 5-year anniversary at this brewery that we go to every year we had up there. And I was like, well, perfect. I'm going to buy one of those. I said, can I ask how much they are? And she said, 40, 50 to fill. And I went, oh, cool. $90. Easy. Got it. No problem. See, you click there right too. Right away, you knew what
strong is this. I completely.
I was too, motherfucker. So was I for a while. So, and she was like, "No, no."
The growler is 40, and then if you want the growler and for her to fill it, it's $50. It's not.
But she kept on saying it numerous times, like I'm a fucking asshole.
Because clearly you are, because you didn't understand it.
But if wouldn't you rephrase it? You rephrase it at a certain point, and you go, "You know what? It's $40, and another 10 to fill it."
No, because she probably has to say it all day long, so she's going to say it in the quickest way possible.
40 and 50 to fill. 40, 10 to fill. That makes sense.
No, because then some literal asshole is going to be like, oh, it only costs $10?
No, no, $10 worth of fluid ounces is going in there. So you're fine. 40, 10 more to fill. Not 40. 50 to fill, right? No, 40, 50 to fill is 90. 40, 10 to fill is 50. Yes, it is. God damn it. Somebody in the chat, somebody's got to understand what I'm saying.
I bet they don't.
I dunk biscuits thoroughly enjoyed the watch along last week. I'm glad you did. And it was like at normal hours for him. Because now I think it's like fucking past midnight over there in the UK.
The fuck, my wife is throwing me under the bus already? Come on, babe. Jesus. Oh, here we are. My main man, MB. There he is. There it is. Completely understand where HK is coming from. The way she said it makes it sound like it's 90. Yep, MB, you're a real gem, and I appreciate you.
I mean, he's a gem, and I appreciate him, but I get it. Okay, I can understand how it can be confusing. I just understood it right off the bat.
Maybe it's because I don't think like a bitch. The people so far that have been like, no, I get it right away. It's been Brundlefly, Double T, and Tropical. So maybe you guys think like a bird. Okay.
No, you're wrong.
Oh, shit.
Molly, I'm just going to say, we've missed you greatly on the show. Assaulted HK's genitals.
No, we do not. We have not. It's been just fine. It's been fine.
I like how you're looking like you're expecting it, too.
No, I don't need it.
Molly is a very smart woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that she's married to Handsome Kevin. She'll wait. She'll lay and wait. You know, maybe during homework when HK is all fired up talking about Shane McMahon and Kurt Angle, then she'll dive bomb his nards or maybe in the middle of the interview. You never know.
Yeah. I think the interview is a great idea.
She waits till next week.
You said she's smart. I don't think she needs like any ideas, probably.
I would never insinuate that she needs ideas. She's a woman, a Renaissance woman, with her McNamara's or whatever they're called, right?
Macrame's. And I'm going to go back to I Dunk Biscuits because he says if she said 50 filled instead of 50 to fill it, it would have made more sense. See, there's another one that doesn't think like a bird.
I think it's rude that you would assume we're bitches because we understood the way the bar wench spoke to you.
You understand the way the bitch was talking to me is what you're saying.
I understand the service industry lingo.
Yeah, so do I, not Zach. And he wasn't using it.
Did you buy a growler?
Yeah, I did.
$40 or $50?
Cost me $50.
Was it delicious?
Yeah, man, it is. And it is cool. Like it's like a super insulated gimmick. So you can just pop the cap, man, drink right out of it. It looks like you're drinking out of a keg. It's pretty cool.
All right.
I'll show you when you're in town.
You had one, and then you were, that's it. You were done. You were cut off. You had to leave early, ruin the night.
No, we went there. That was before we even got out to the cabin, man. That's on the cabin trip. Yeah. It's a good spot, man. Northern Minnesota, a little brewery called the Snarky Loon.
Perhaps she was living the gimmick
of being a bitch.
Us being a Snarky Loon.
Yeah. She wasn't the owner though.
You don't have to be the owner.
She doesn't have to be.
Yeah. It's just part of the application process.
She's the one that has to deal with you and six of your other hooligan friends. Then yeah, she can be a snarky loon.
They weren't hooligans. Everybody was good. It's good.
HK, you'd never been to a restaurant where they're rude to you on purpose?
I have not.
I've always wanted to go to one of those.
I went to Dick's twice. It's awesome. In Baltimore and Dallas.
Oh, I've heard that place is awesome. Yeah.
That place rules.
Do they just cuss at you just for fun?
No, they don't cuss at you, but they're pretty creative. They make fun. of you.
Can you make fun of him back?
You can.
Okay. Okay. Hmm.
Yeah, it's a good time.
I wish they had one around here. That would be the Shining Wizards trip this summer.
You wish you were surrounded by dicks. Come on, Brundlefly.
I already am.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, there's no Monday Night Raw tonight, and Brundle mentioned it in the open. We Clash of Italy was Sunday. The King and the Queen of the Ring are starting, so there's a lot of questions there. AEW maybe did a little too much wrestling this week. I thought Dynamite and Collision were one thing Wednesday night, and then to find out they were doing like Collision again Saturday, I was like, ah, I kind of lost steam. I lost steam in that third hour Wednesday night.
I didn't even make it to the third hour. As soon as the main event was done, I was like, all right, I'm going to sleep.
I did, though. We could. I mean, this will be a great segue for when our guest Jack Cartwheel joins us. I didn't watch the whole show, but I did watch the fucking mask versus mask match.
Yes, that's all I watched on that, too, from legit start to finish.
I know it'll never happen. Right. And this is my big takeaway from the weekend between Clash of Italy and Monterrey, Mexico for AAA. I know the WWE will never do it, but man, do you think they know how better it sounds when there's a fucking roof on top of the goddamn arena? Like when they do these big outdoor shows, like the sound is, it just goes into the air. It has nowhere to, it just goes up, right? When they're at the WrestleManias and the SummerSlams. But man, Clash of Italy, those people are going fucking crazy. And then in Monterey, like the sound was just awesome. It added to the fucking atmosphere. And it's like, oh, you know, like how much better would Roman CM Punk been at WrestleMania Night 2 if the sound had like not just gone up into the nothing. It bounced off the walls and it like rocked the fucking arena.
Well, yeah. I mean, the other point that I think has to come in here is that they're also in like other countries, right? Like Italy doesn't always get a show, right? They're always nuts when WWE shows up. Like AAA, that's a huge event. I mean, and obviously they ceiling, right? Or it's on there. I get that part of it, but like especially in Italy, like the international fans are always they put American fans to shame.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
But man, that fucking mask versus mask match. Holy cow. Holy cow. Yeah. I have not been watching AAA on Fox on YouTube. I you know, it's getting that time of the year. I'm very busy, so I'm very selective with what I watch. But I went out of my way to watch it. And even though I didn't know all the intricacies and all the characters in the story, man, they did a good job of involving everybody, and I thought Corey Graves and fucking JBL did a great job on commentary. The fans were fucking invested. I was invested. I fucking loved it.
Yeah, it felt like a legit Mexico. It didn't feel like WWE presents mask versus mask. It felt like a legit Mexican mask versus mask match with from start to finish with the elaborate intros with the introductions, blood, all the callbacks and fucking interference and everything. It was fantastic. Even just to the end when they're standing next to it and Chad Gable takes off his masks and explains who he is and how long he was wrestling. It was fucking great. I loved it. And goddamn El Grande Americano, Kaiser, or whatever.
Yep.
Is he fucking over? My goodness.
Holy shit.
Yeah. He's like Mystico level in Mexico.
It is crazy. When he came out and he hugged that little boy right in the front row, and the kid like fucking went nuts. He took his fucking mask off. He was like,
yeah,
mind blown. I'm like, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah. I think Gable was giving the business to that kid too. On the way out, so it was, it was fantastic.
Yeah, no, I fucking thought it was awesome. And I'm props to El Grande Americano for making it through the match, because he did that fucking backpack off the apron through the table, and he fucking whacked the shit out of his head against the ground. What are you chuckling at?
So I watched that obviously a handful of times. I'm pretty sure he caught Gable's knee. I was looking at the comments when I was chuckling. Obviously, thanks, Baby J, for being back, and shout out to Harshal. Harshal, Hakushi, Harshi,
Hakushi.
All right. The match itself was fucking fantastic. Like I wish there was more hours in the week so I could take in more AAA. But like the mask versus mask, and it was interesting. Like Brenna Fly, you were saying, like it didn't feel like a WWE presents AAA in a mask versus mask kind of a match. It had that feel, but I think more than anything, like one, the fans contributed to that because the fans believed in what was going on, and watching the arc of the story and the amount of passion that those two men put into the arc of that story. And even like from the beginning, like when Gable first showed up as El Grande Americano, right? Everybody kind of, not everybody, but a lot of people just kind of threw it away, thought it was something fucking stupid. And it grew into where we are now, and it turned into something just fucking fantastic. Like enjoyed the entire ride, the entire arc, and the match itself was far more brutal than I thought it was going to be. But it had me hooked from start to finish. And part of that was like me as a viewer feeding off the crowd's excitement. You know what I mean? Like feeding off of what they were doing was, it helps you kind of get lost in what's going on in front of you. I don't like all the outside interference. It's just something that's not for me. I'm never going to like all that extra outside interference. But the match itself, man, like even take out the outside interference part of it, I fucking loved. Like I absolutely loved. And I'm a big Gable guy, and I'm a big Kaiser guy. And I think that the El Grande Americano character is a fantastic character. And I think it's great that they have this like Lucha Libre superhero now, you know what I mean? Like that I don't know if they wanted it to be Gable, but now it is 100% Kaiser, you know what I mean? Like it's fantastic, and they got a German guy that portrays this, you know what I mean? Like that's yeah, unites like, everybody against Gable. It's absolutely fantastic.
He's like fully invested in it. Like I think he speaks Spanish.
He does.
And I know the woman that was involved at the end, like that's his girlfriend. That's like his legit girlfriend. Like he's like fully fucking invested in it. The people love him. They fucking love him. I thought it was awesome. And it makes me want to watch the AAA Fox show.
They got the Triple Mania coming in, what'd they say, August or something like that? Or because they announced it, I think that night or Clash. Where it's going to be two nights, one night in Vegas, the second night in Mexico. That'd be awesome. And if they don't have Dom versus El Grande Americano, the second night main event for that mega title, I don't know what they're doing. Because I feel like that would once again blow the roof off the place.
Yeah,
it'll be September.
September, okay.
Yeah, Friday night will be in Vegas, and then the second night will be in Mexico City or vice versa, whatever. Yeah, so but they're doing two nights. That'll be pretty fucking wild.
Yeah.
And old the good old Mark is in charge of that, huh? That's his little baby over there.
That's what they're saying. Yeah.
I guess they're kind of leaving it alone and everything, whatnot, and just letting him do his thing. And it's amazing how good things can be like that. Kind of like with the NXT back before Grubby Hands got on it.
Who's Grubby Hands, Vince?
Yeah, I guess it was Vince. Whoever made it 2.0.
Yeah, Vince.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was. But that, you know, I went out of my way to watch it today, from the entrances to the end and the unmasking and. You know, if you've never listened to the show and you're not familiar with us, like we kind of like, I can't speak for HK or Brundo, but I like the older, you know, the stuff that I grew up on, the 80s and the 90s. Right. But like, so like I take notice of certain things, like even after the match, once Gable hands the mask over to Ludwig, El Grande Americano, he's still selling the ankle injury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it's little things like that, that for me, I'm like, fuck, that's awesome. Like, I love that he's really going to make it seem like he really fucking hurt himself. And it's just another element to the match, even in the post-match stuff that I really enjoyed.
When he hit the ropes and absolutely crumbled, like, obviously you've seen that spot before. We've all seen that spot before. But he went down in such a fashion that made you almost go, oh, wait, I haven't seen somebody fall like that before. You know what I mean? Like, he went down after he hit the ropes like somebody shot him. It took me by surprise because I've never seen anybody take that bump that dramatically, that quick in that instance. It made you go, wait a second now, is he actually okay? You know what I mean? Like, there's so many instances throughout the match itself that, like, and obviously we know what it is, right? We know, we're wrestling fans. But if they can, like, even for us, right, it may go, oh shit, wait a second. You know what I mean? They fucking hooked you. Like, they got you. Fucking Mark. It's over.
Even like the way they would, like, attack each other, it wasn't like these, like, fluid fucking lucha libre. It was like they were brawling. They were just, like, trying to take each other down and just fucking punch and kick and, you know, the gigging and the ripping off of El Grande Americano OG. I mean, you almost exposed his whole fucking face before he took. I know he had to gig himself and get the color, but they were both kind of pushing the envelope with ripping each other's masks off. And I did enjoy that Ludwig just had that tuft of hair just hanging out.
They do that a lot in those matches. I remember when we had the homework, the mask versus mask, one, at least one, if not both masks were ripped. A whole bunch of Penta matches. I can remember him having some bloodbaths on Lucha Underground where his mask was basically off, so... Yeah, they do that a lot. It was great.
Yeah, but in those instances, like, we don't know who is behind. Like,
yeah, there are some guys. Like, I get what you mean now. Yeah,
when fucking Gable takes off the mask, and fucking JBL goes, "It's Chad Gable." What an asshole!
That's fucking amazing. Like, I love that though. Like, don't you love that part of it? Like, we're like, whoa, fuck. So, yeah, I think it is Chad Gable. Like, it's fantastic.
Our guy, True Prince of Pro, who is the resident AAA guy, he's got his own AAA review show on YouTube. El Grande Americano, number one contender for the AAA Mega World Championship because he won the Rey Del Reyes. So he and Dom are definitely main eventing night two of Triple Mania.
Fantastic. I will definitely tune in at the very least for that match in September.
Yeah. I like AAA. Gonna have to find more time in the week and get some AAA in.
Yeah. I mean, it's on Saturday nights. It should be right in your wheelhouse, right? Or are you in bed by then?
I'm usually in bed. Yeah.
Can you watch? Do you watch a TV in bed?
Yeah. Yeah. I do.
A little AAA?
I could maybe try to work a little AAA in there.
Makes you feel like home.
It does make me feel like home, and I do like that. I do like that. Yeah.
Bring some of that food home, eat it in bed, watch AAA. Fall asleep with a quesadilla in your mouth or something.
Oh yeah. What's funny is that the last Triple Mania I did have some Rancho Loco, brought it home and watched AAA. It's fantastic, man. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Jack Cartwheel should be joining us shortly. He's a AAA guy. He was a WWE ID guy, but I guess that, I don't know, we'll get into it. He revealed in an interview earlier this month that he's no longer under WWE ID contract. So, but he works for AAA. I don't know how any of that shit works. So maybe Jack can spread some light on it. He's recovering from an elbow injury.
I think he was in AAA even before the WWE thing. Possibly. I'd have to look it up.
Quick aside, HK.
Yeah.
For you, any plans to go to SummerSlam?
Nah, I'll be out of town.
Oh.
Yeah. I think. What are the dates? Remind me the date.
First and second of August, maybe. Second and third.
Yeah, I'm fucking out of town. Yep. I will be out of town.
You save some money being out of town.
Yeah. Thought about it, right? Thought about it.
I saw Apron Bump Kyle pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. motherfucker messaged me too. It's, I realize that like I'm not a social media guy, right? I'm not hip to all the different things, but I was always pretty good at like when people messaged me shit. And Handjob Kyle messaged me like a month ago. Okay, motherfucking had no idea. Went in there and he messaged me like a month ago, and then he messaged me like 2 weeks after that, and he goes, "Well, fuck me, I guess." And I was like, and I opened up, and I was like, "Oh, got it, figured it out. That's why."
I feel like nowadays on X, it's easy to miss messages too, because they don't always like pop up, at least on my end.
Can I tell you the amount of? It's back. It came back. It went away for a couple weeks. It's back now. Like I'm in the running to be like the podcast host. They're coming in like hot. And there's a follow-up question that they send a day later. Like, hey, did you vote for me? And I just delete them because I'm not responding. I'm not clicking on anything. I'm not getting our account broken into. I won't do
yes.
it.
That's a good idea, Double T. I think we we had Jack. Now we don't have Jack.
He said give him a second.
Okay. All right. All right. He's back there doing cartwheels, probably.
No, he's got his arms in the gimmick.
Oh, gotcha. Well, you can do it one-handed. Yeah.
I bet you if anyone can do a one-handed cartwheel, it's Jeff.
Motherfucker, I've seen him do the one-handed.
He can do
anything.
I'm bringing him in. He can do. Motherfucker can do a one-hander, I'm sure.
Can you fix the thing, though?
Yeah, I'm fixing the thing.
Nice.
How are you?
What's up, man? Good, good. How are you guys?
Great. Thanks for taking time and jumping on the show tonight. How's the elbow treating you?
Of course. Thank you for having me. You know, it's getting there. It really is getting there, man. The huge blessing in disguise. Well, the huge blessing is I didn't need to have a surgery. So like tons of things were torn. My UCL was torn. My LUCL ligaments were torn. My extender tendon was torn as well. But they all had a tiny bit still attached to where I didn't need a surgery. So it's going. I have a potential return date, but I'm keeping that to myself because I think it'll be big.
So when it's not torn and it's like hanging on by a thread, you just can't use it. You just kind of like you have to wait.
Yeah. So there's it's the physical therapy of it, of building the strength back, building the ligaments back, that it takes 5 weeks to build the scar tissue. To where it's now it's at a point where I'm able to work on getting the full extension and work on getting the full forgot what this way is, but working on getting it fully in those directions. That still has a little bit to go. But it's going. It's going. Like, I mean, the progress is where we're supposed to be, I think.
That looks like a pretty badass gimmick, man. You're gonna keep rolling with that once you step back in the ring?
There's got to be something. I don't know what it is. Like, yeah, I'm definitely gonna have some sort of protective brace in a real way that like I do need this brace, but I also want it for people to remember like what happened and why I have it, because there was that time where I couldn't do cartwheels, and now I got this brace. Now I'm remembering about that time where I couldn't do the things that I love. So it will remind me of that time and also remind the fans of this time and how fragile this can be and life can be. And I think that's a big part of why I do cartwheels, because someday I might not be able to. And I think that that's an important message, that I want to do cartwheels while I can.
Look, I'm glad one of us can do cartwheels. I know I can't. I'm a little older, so... You should go full Cowboy Bob Orton with it. Show back up in AAA, big cast all the way up to your shoulder, and just start wallop El Grande Americano, go after Rey Fénix and his new title. Like,
that's right.
Go in there and raise hell.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, it's a biochemically re-engineered elbow created to make destruction, right? So, potentially this might be a little too bulky, but there's got to be something like it that I will return with. And yeah, totally, exactly what you said, with going after Rey Fénix and the Crucero Championship now. What an amazing match. And yeah, I mean, that belt is the thing I have my eye on.
Now, you're part of AAA, and you were there before you got hurt. I'm sure you watched the, we just finished talking about the mask versus mask match.
Dude.
How from someone who was there when it kind of, you know, the seeds were planted, like the atmosphere looked like it was incredible in Monterey Saturday night. And I know, I don't know if you were there, but you've been in the building before. Like, can you speak to the atmosphere down in AAA versus like a GCW show? Cause they seem like two completely different animals.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would. I could definitely talk about that. That I'm not sure if any of you guys have heard this term before, but that the crowd is the soundtrack to every match. That it's like watching a movie and whoever the crowd is the audio, right? So watching that match, having like the best soundtrack to any wrestling match ever, because every single person in that arena was so insanely invested and cared so much about everything that it just felt electric, and it was absolutely amazing, felt historic because of how much everyone cared. And yeah, that difference of a reserved audience of 100 people or 200 people versus a very, very excited and motivating audience of 10,000 is going to be insanely different with that soundtrack of what the match sounds like and what it feels like. Yeah, it's very different. And also, I didn't know, like, we started recording. Like, I'm totally good that we did, or you guys have been going for a while. But, I also want to put over all these action figures. These are awesome. Like, in the back, Mr. HK, it's sick.
Thank you very much.
Heck yeah. It's,
it is kind of a disease. It's,
What's your newest one?
It's somewhere in that pile over there. probably, I think the DDP Ultimate Edition was the one that arrived most recently.
Nice. Yeah,
or the Coco Beware. I don't remember which one was the most recent one, but yeah, it's a disease. Trust me,
it's still growing. That's I love it. You gotta have something to remember the good times and to build on and like. To deep dive into.
It's all the way around, man. It's everywhere. So yeah, it's all four corners of the office and top to bottom.
It's not wrestling, but I have a Jar Jar Binks up there. It's my
okay. I got Star Wars in the living room. So then I got DC also in the living room. So, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. The do you collect Star Wars, or is it just kind of a passing? If you see it with your eyes, you're in.
Yeah, I would say besides like WWE and pro wrestling, Marvel and Star Wars and DC are the things that I put my energy into. And I don't collect action figures necessarily, but this one Jar Jar Binks, I got at like a garage sale when I was 8, and I just kept it because it's like, I think at one time when I'm maybe 50 or 60 or 70, it'll be worth a lot. But I don't know. It's just one that I have.
So you make the investment. That's the investment play.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
That's what I tell my wife every time a package shows up. These are going to be worth something someday, as I look at a fucking bookcase full of unopened, useless AEW figures.
I imagine she goes, if you make it till then.
They very much could be like in, with more things of the physical art becoming more valuable once again, hopefully. Yeah,
I hope so. I mean, I'm not collecting too. It would be nice though, you know. every couple like weeks, like something shows up, and then I'm like, I'm fucking out of space. And then she's like, where are you gonna put that? And I'm like, I don't fucking know. Why do you ask me? Like, it's in the podcast room, so leave it alone. I had to do a complete sidebar. I had to take a I work in the restaurant, Jack, and I'm like a restaurant manager, so I had to take a online serve safe manager test today, and I had to do
okay.
A laptop, and the lady had to access like my camera, and like the camera comes up, and I don't know if the light, I have my collection is not as big as HK's, but it's still pretty, and it comes out, she goes, oh, what is all that? It has nothing to do with
anything. It has nothing to do with restaurant safety, miss.
Nothing. It has not. She's like, what? She's like, what is this? I'm like, this is my router, lady. This is my Wi-Fi. She's like, is it a speaker? And I'm like, oh my God, do people really cheat at this? Can I just take this stupid test, please?
It's 165 can you show me what's on the couch? Fahrenheit.
Yeah. What's on the couch? This is my autographed Mikey Whipwreck figure. How is this going to figure into this stupid test? Is that a skeleton? Yes, that's a full fucking skeleton, lady. What are we doing? Can we start the test, please? Sorry.
Sidebar. No, that's awesome. Yeah,
it's not about me. This is about Jack Cartwheel. So the recovery's going well. Triple H is on fire. Now, you did an interview. Like maybe
Triple H.
Triple A.
Just set the motherfucker ablaze.
Sorry, Jack. Well, English is not. I have a wrestling podcast, and I can't speak the English language. We had Madman Pondo on the show a couple weeks ago, and I called him Madman Mondo for the whole interview. So, not on purpose.
Be glad he's getting your name right.
Thanks. Yeah, I get Jake sometimes. I get Jake a good amount. Jake Cartwheel. So that's the only one, really. Most people get the cartwheel part.
I just said they change the cartwheel and go to somersault or round off, nothing like that.
They do, but that's when it's like a joke, and it's like, oh, I've never heard that before. Good one. But also, sorry, at the same time, I don't care as much. Like, I mean, yeah, sure, that's fine.
How did you settle on cartwheel? Like, out of all the flippy moves that you can do?
So it's a homage to a couple things that I think it's really great that it's an easy thing to do, that it's a overall that many people can relate to it. Many people understand it. I think it works with the kiddos, that they love to do cartwheels. I want to be walking down the aisle in the entrance and kids are doing this because they're excited to do a cartwheel. And it would be the way that I would make people happy when I was growing up, that I would go to my grandparents' senior citizen home and I would just be doing cartwheels and flips around in the courtyard to make people smile. Or when my little sister would scrape her knee, I would just start doing cartwheels to make her smile. And when I went into pro wrestling, this is what I wanted to do, that I wanted to be the good guy who comes in and makes people smile one cartwheel at a time. So it's the thing that I like to do. It's who I am, and I think it represents joy and also something a little bit difficult, but takes all your energy to do.
Wait a second. You doing it at an old folks home, Jack? Like, isn't that like, is it kind of rubbing it in a little bit? Because you don't, these old folks aren't on their walkers and shit doing any acrobatics.
I think it's more of the, I'm doing the cartwheels for the people who aren't able to as well. There's an aspect of that, gotcha. Yeah, I'll do them all for the people who can't do them and for the people who can. And yeah, I think it would bring a brightness to their day.
All right. I did briefly look around to see if there was enough room in the room for me to try and do a cartwheel, but I will not be smashing through any of my decoffs tonight. So,
I think it would make for a great clip, though.
Yeah, I'm not spending the night cleaning up glass and action figures and then having to explain to my wife why I destroyed a Detolf.
Well, you had to do a cartwheel.
And then she'll go, did you? Did you have to do a cartwheel? That'll be how that goes. Triple A is on fire, and you had done an interview a couple weeks ago because you were a WWE ID guy, but now you're full on AAA. We kind of talked about it before, like, but AAA is under the WWE umbrella, right? So how does that work for you?
Yeah, I would say it completely. Yes, sir. Under the WWE umbrella. So amazing. Mr. Undertaker is there producing and helping and Mr. Borash and so many of the best producers and coaches from WWE and the Performance Center helping AAA become and be that really amazing best show that's going on right now. And I would say the biggest difference between when I was in ID versus now being in AAA is showing up on WWE Evolve, I would say, is the biggest difference. That me and Cappuccino Jones were having a lot more matches together with Adrenaline Drip on Evolve. And now it's transitioned from having those amazing shows on Evolve to bringing my talents and having great, amazing matches on AAA.
Do you guys call him Mr. Undertaker?
I do. Okay. I'm not comfortable enough yet to say anything else.
I want to see get everyone together. Like, you may call me many things, but don't call me Mark.
I have not seen that meeting yet. I just say Mr. Undertaker.
So you mentioned when you jumped on that you have a date in mind. I'm not going to ask you when the date is or how close we are, but like, obviously Ray Phoenix took that. Walked out Saturday night as the champion, and you were kind of involved in, before you got hurt, you know, you were feuding a little bit with, I just had it up here, Laredo Kid. So like, what is your, Jack Cartwheel has his way. Like, are we going right for Ray Phoenix when we come back?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. If Jack Cartwheel has his way, he gets a third shot, third time's the charm at the Crucero Championship. That first time, it was me, Laredo, and Javon Evans in December. The second time, me, Laredo, Dragon Lee, and TJP in March with Rey de Reyes. And if Jack Cartwheel has his way, he gets to go and try it one more time. Maybe there's bigger stakes at this point because I haven't gotten it twice already, but if I have my way and if I'm given the opportunity when I come back, that Crucero Championship and Ray Phoenix is where my eyes are headed and what I'm focused on. I have the blinders on. I can't see anything else except for the Crucero Championship and Ray Phoenix.
Is there a the injury occurred now in GCW? Is there a how does that work going forward? Are we okay with you working outside of AAA, or is there, what's the protocol for that? Take us a little bit behind the curtain if you can.
Yeah, I would say I'm still, you could still work all the indies. I can still go to GCW, have amazing matches there, go to AAA, have more amazing matches there. In my head, I just see that AAA a head above that has the priority and all of my attention. And when I'm trying to do those AAA shows, I keep the rest of my weekend free so I can be the very best that I can for WWE and AAA. And on all the other weeks, I'll be working all the other indies that I can, or all the indies that I can, and putting my best foot forward every single time I step into that AAA ring.
What's your favorite thing to eat while you're down in Mexico?
What was that?
What's your favorite thing to eat while you're in Mexico?
I like pastor tacos. That's my favorite. Pastor, which is also adobado, which I didn't know. So pastor, adobado, asada tacos are my favorite. If I'm going to go quesadilla or a burrito, I'm probably going chicken, pollo. And then, I mean, I love rice and beans as well. Like especially the fried, refried beans. So good, or the refried black beans as well. I love all the Mexican food, the Mexican cuisine. It's perfect for me. I feel like also it gets some smack about being not healthy, but I don't see how that works. It's just meat and a tortilla, so I think it would make sense that it's very healthy.
100% and 100%. Like, have you had obviously you're down there eating squid, right? Are you delving outside of just your tacos and quesadillas? You trying everything else down there?
That's a great question. There's definitely there was some moletes, like a special type in Puebla that was a more of a ham and cheese type sandwich, but it seemed like it was very traditional and cultural in Puebla. So I was really excited to get to try that. And a big thing that stops me from a lot of the Mexican foods is I don't like tomatoes, actually. So that actually stops a lot of the experimental foods where there's tomatoes, and it's more of a process, I guess.
Right. I gotcha.
Is it the taste of the tomatoes, or is it the texture? What do you not like about
texture?
Tomatoes?
I think it's the texture and the taste. I like ketchup, but it's a different thing. In my opinion, it's a different taste than texture.
I can respect that.
Thanks. But
I dig it. You know, how's your Spanish? Do you speak good Spanish?
In terms of Lucha Libre and talking about matches, I am pretty solid at Spanish in terms of what I need to know for being in the ring. I think there's a lot of things I could improve on. I mean, the vast majority of Spanish I could improve on outside of the ring, but training with Lil Cholo at the House of Lucha in the Los Angeles area, I, for 2 or 3 years, have been calling matches in Spanish and practicing my my directions in Spanish, so I know how to say my things that I want to do and do in Spanish, in Lucha, and learning more and more as I'm progressing. But with Spanish itself, with Lucha, I'm good. Outside of Lucha, there's a lot more vocab I need to get.
Yeah, like I said, I work in a restaurant, so I only know all the bad words. Yeah. Right, and I know enough like not bad words where if I say it in front of somebody who speaks Spanish, they think I speak Spanish, and I'm like, nope, that was it.
Yeah.
Whatever just came out of my mouth, that's the extent of it. If somebody speaks to me in Spanish, if there's like a couple like key words that they say, like I can kind of figure out what they're trying to say, but for the most part, I don't know what the hell's going on.
The one time I went to Mexico, I would see at the restaurants, or I'd see the cleaning people, and I'd say hola, and they'd say something else. No, just hola. That's all I got.
I feel it. I think a big thing for me right now is I'm working on directions and negative characteristics. Those are like kind of the things that I'm watching more videos about right now, of like izquierda and derecho and arriba and debajo and alado and all those of like, oh, I'm going that way for airport stuff mostly.
Now, I remember hearing stories from guys in the 90s, like Jericho and Guerrero and all them, that on the trips to different towns, they would get stopped at times by, you know, police or people like that. Have you ever been involved in that, or had somebody stop you on one of the trips on a bus or something?
So not everyone together on like one of those shuttle buses or something like that. But I've been very lucky to not run into any problems. Twice I've had issues with flights where perhaps I was missing a certain certification that I was supposed to get when I first arrived, which led me to go like back through security the other way to find that place, get that, then come back. But it hasn't been one of those stories that you perhaps talk about or hear about with a policeman trying to get a bribe. There was one time where I crossed the border with someone who didn't have a passport, and they ended up paying to get through. But that happened at a different room. He was just like, oh, I'm going to go deal with something, I'll be right back. And that's what that was.
I'm sweating. The idea of going through security just to have to turn around and go back to a that just gave me the sweats. That freaks me. As we went on our honeymoon, I went to Europe, and it was like anytime we got off the boat, I was like, just the anxiety was through the roof, because I don't speak whatever language of whatever country we were in, and like we got on like the wrong train to go someplace, and the lady was like yelling at us, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna fucking punch you in the face. My wife's like, you need to calm down. I'm like, why the fuck is she yelling at us? She clearly can tell we don't know what we're doing. Yeah, no, that gives me anxiety. I don't like that.
Oh. It's hard to keep composure in those times, for sure.
Oh, man.
Maybe you should have just done some cartwheels, Double T. You would have been fine.
No, maybe. I can't. Again, I crashed through everything. I got there all in a china shop.
There's one story I, in terms of like that traveling anxiety in Mexico that I think would be like the highest of all of those anxieties that I've had, where one time I was doing a show, maybe 5 or 6 hour bus ride from the Mexico City airport. I had a flight at 6 a.m. out of the Mexico City airport to go to Baltimore to work for MCW. And I didn't realize that that town was so far away from Mexico City that I ended up having to leave the venue during the show, get a public bus, go on the public bus overnight to get to Mexico City, find my way from that bus stop to the airport to make that 7 a.m. flight to get to Baltimore. So yeah, I think I put my hat on that night of like, I earned this because I went through that to make it to this one show. Yeah, also of when I'm going through something else, I'm like, oh, at least I'm not on this public bus by myself going across the country.
And having to fly into Baltimore, man, that airport's a shithole.
That's not nice, HK. When was the last time you were in Baltimore?
I was in Baltimore last summer. 2 summers ago. It's not too long ago I was in Baltimore. Our airport's a shithole.
That's not very nice.
I mean, Baltimore kind of is a shithole, so you're not.
All right. We might have people from Baltimore listening, watching. We don't want to poop them. They might agree.
Yeah. They know they live in a shithole if they're from Baltimore.
Yeah. You got to stay by the port.
No. Jack, let's get off of Baltimore here. Jack, so clearly your sights are on Rey Fénix, but we mentioned AAA is under the WWE umbrella. There's a couple other promotions under there. A lot of talent, a lot of great talent. You mentioned Javon Evans. You shared a ring with him. Is there anybody in that WWE universe that you've yet to get in the ring with that you're kind of looking forward to when you come back from this injury?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And the pride I have to be saying these names, but also to know that we legitimately do work in the same company now, that this is tangibly a thing. It could be Jack Cartwheel versus Penta in a AAA coming up. It could be Jack Cartwheel versus Dom Mysterio. It could be Jack Cartwheel versus Finn Balor. It could be Jack Cartwheel versus the Vanity Project, because we had beef and ID and we could keep that going. Every match I had with those guys was great. And I mean, Jack Cartwheel versus Roman Reigns would be insane, but that is a tangible thing that could happen. And like, these are goals I'm aspiring towards and matches that I would really love to have.
I'd really like to see those. Look, if you look up Jack's cage match, I mean, he shared the ring with every single cruiserweight, high flyer, big name out there on the indies, AAA guys now. He's been in there with La Parca, and he mentioned TJP, and it's a who's who. And Jack is, I mean, you're young, so you got a lot of miles left on them roads, son.
Yes, yes, the wheels keep spinning.
But somebody's wheels are spinning.
We mentioned GCW before. When you come back, you got your eyes on anybody there? Like, maybe a match with Atticus, the champ, or something?
I would think so, yeah. Like, a match with Atticus somewhere in California, I think would be the coolest thing ever. Have a kind of homecoming in some sort of way. That would be amazing. I'm always excited to work with Gringo Loco when I can. I'm always excited to work with Vengador. Alec Price and Jordan Oliver, always love working with them. And, you know, I haven't had a singles match with Jimmy Lloyd since the first GCW match, but man, every time he has a matches, they don't disappoint. They do not disappoint. Same with Joey Janela. He just executes. And yeah, tons of people at GCW that I want to return and not even just have a match with. I'm looking towards more stories and feuds and things that last a little bit longer than having the one match and being okay with either losing or winning. I want to have a match and lose it, but say, you know what? I lost today, but I want another shot. or Jack. I won today. Or I won the first.
I was gonna say there's the other option there, Jack.
Dude, that would be great. Then we could end it.
Well, what, Jack, we are super excited for you on this road to recovery. We can't wait to see you come back because possibilities are endless. AAA is on fire. GCW is like a runaway train. I mean, they're every weekend. They're in a new state. They're bringing in the best talent. So it'll be fantastic to see you back in those rings and apply your trade. The only way place you know how to, and that's inside the ring, doing cartwheels, getting crazy, getting victories. None of this losing shit, Jack. Come on, we're gonna get that. We're gonna get that lose. No losing. We're winners, Jack. Jack Cartwheel is a goddamn winner.
Winning is more fun, and Jack Cartwheel is all about fun. So you are correct. That's when you actually get those good smiles and those good cartwheels. When you have joy going because you worked hard and now you won.
And Jack, this has been a lot of fun. We appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. I know the recovery is going well, and we're not going to take up your whole night. Before we let you go, anything you want to leave your fans with, fans of the Shining Wizards?
Man, thank you guys so much for having me. Thank you guys for giving me the time. And I want to say to keep doing cartwheels, keep chasing after whatever dream you have, whatever thing you want to do. Have a spirit that bounces back. That's what I'm trying to do with this elbow. And keep spinning. Flip those expectations. I am Jack Cartwheel. You can find me on Instagram at Jack Cartwheel and X at Jack Cartwheel and Facebook Jack Cartwheel, YouTube Jack Cartwheel. And I should have a link to my Big Cartel website, where I sell t-shirts, 8x10s, and I have brand new cards. Actually, do you mind if I grab them real quick?
Oh, not at all.
Yeah.
All that and for those of you guys out there watching, all that information is scrolling across the bottom of the screen too. We have Jack's Pro Wrestling Tees up there, his IG. It's all at the bottom of the screen. So be sure to follow him. His link tree is down there, and he's got these cool new cards he's gonna show.
I got these two cool new lenticular cards, which means that they change. So it goes from me in a cartwheel to posing for one.
Well, I like that. That's super creative.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Brand new. I got them today. They finally got here. So, yeah.
Our guy. All right. So we got True Prince of Pro. He's a big AAA fan. He does a AAA review show on YouTube. Jack Cartwheel, one of my favorites this year because he always has incredible matches. I really hope he wins the Cruiserweight Championship at AAA Triple Mania this year.
On that whiteboard, it says 101 days till Triple Mania. By the way,
nice. Countdown is on. And then Apron Bump wants to know, have you ever shit your pants while cartwheeling?
No, that's not. maybe other acrobatic moves. I'm not going to put that above me, but cartwheels, no, I don't think so.
No, they're easy. Cartwheels are easy, Kyle. Bringing your nasty.
I thought you meant shitting your pants.
No, come on, Brundo. Oh my god.
Well, it can't be that difficult. You've done it a ton of times.
Who?
You.
Me or Brundo?
Well, actually, both of you, I guess. Not think about
Brundo way more recently than me, just for the record.
With the cartwheel? Does Brundo, no. Brundo have a better one?
Not with a cartwheel. I don't know if I could do a cartwheel either, but I'm sure landing would probably.
I don't think you could do a cartwheel without shitting your pants.
Jack, this is a blast, man. Anytime you want to come back on, you want to hang out, you got something to promote, just hit us up and we got you, man. This has been a really good time.
Cool. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Have a great rest of your day. And we'll. Yeah, thank you for having me. And this was fun.
All right, we'll talk soon, Jack. Thanks, man. Good luck with the recovery. We'll see you in the ring soon.
See you, Rotation Nation.
Oh, I like that.
Thanks,
Rotation
Jack.
Nation.
I dig that.
The Rotation Nation.
I like that. It's Rotation Nation is pretty solid. I like that too.
Jack was great.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Do you now consider yourself part of Rotation Nation?
Do I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Like you got to at least be able to do a cartwheel to be part of Rotation Nation, I would think, right? Maybe somersault.
I can't in the podcast.
Maybe that's a thing for the barbecue in August. See like which wizard can do a cartwheel.
Because if I fucking cartwheel and I fall, everything's falling. The shelves are falling. Like the figures are coming off. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Tony!
Is he gone? I fucking hate guests.
Yep.
You know what I hate more than, you know what I hate more than guests, Brundo?
What's that?
Winning fucking picks again. Fuck your hands, fuck your mothers, fuck everybody.
How can somebody be so ornery by winning?
I don't give a fuck. You know I've hated picks from day one.
Yeah, but you win. You're good at it. How could you hate being good at something?
It's like fucking. I'm great at fucking, but sometimes I'm just tired of fucking.
He ain't lying.
I was really looking for a magenta run-in.
Yeah, well, I mean, you were looking in the wrong place because he's not.
I was going for it. Tony, I went double down. I went magenta run-in and a Molly nutshot during the interview.
I guess just like your picks, you fucking lost.
I didn't lose.
You didn't win. I didn't win.
Well, the picks aren't over. We got a full year. Half a year left.
Stop. Come on. It's over. It's over, Johnny. It's over, Johnny. You're tied with HK now, dude. Come on now.
Me and HK were tied last week.
Yeah, and I was doing pretty goddamn good there for a little bit. Yeah.
Wait, how were you tied last week? Oh, you both went 3-2. Oh, you both fucked up this week.
Uh-huh. Well, I have no idea what the fucking Becky Lynch, Saul Ruk. Like, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing with the women's division. Like, do we have?
Oh, like I do?
I don't know.
Look who you're talking to.
I don't know. Every time I go on Twitter, Saul Ruk is fucking up her goddamn finishing move again. So I don't know why they would put the strap on her. So they did. I don't know. Good for her.
And let me say something else to all these cocksuckers out there starting shit on social media. Oh, it's the first black female intercontinental. Eat fucking balls with that shit already. Why does everything have to be like, oh, she's the first black, or she's the first Puerto Rican, or she's the first blah, 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 blah. You fucking let her win the title and be fucking happy for her. Enough of this shit. Listen to Bobby Lashley and stop making everything about fucking race.
I think there's been other Puerto Rican and black people out there, Tony.
Wait, what happened with black people?
He said she's the first black and the first Puerto Rican. I don't think that's true.
No, not her. Wasn't the other one the Puerto Rican Vega? Dun, 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 dun,
yeah, da, that was the US one.
Yeah, and they fired her too.
Stupid.
Fucking terrible to the minorities, HK.
To be fair, these belts have been around for like 2 years, I think, right?
Who gives a shit? Oh, the first this and that. Hey, did you see fucking old foot stomper Magoo fucking won a title over the weekend?
At 72 years old.
Come on.
Can't imagine what that abomination looked like.
It's probably fucking garbage New Jersey independent wrestling. What did you expect?
The match was still probably better than Moolah winning the fucking title at like 99.
All right. But yeah, so whatever. I took fucking Becky to retain. And then I don't know, man. I don't give a shit about the fucking bloodline. So I thought like maybe Jacob Fatu wins. I took a shot. I fucking lost.
The only one that was a real toss up was the fucking Gunther Cody match. That was really the only thing that could have went either way.
That's the one I lost on. And I really thought the fact that Gunther never, I'm pretty sure he never lost a match that wasn't for the, like, to lose a title. That really got me because I thought they would keep going with that. But
yeah,
no, instead they, you know, do a shitty finish. And
I hate that finish.
Now we probably won't even have anything afterwards for it.
No, it's like Randy Orton holding the fucking title up at WrestleMania.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
Jim Neidhart's back?
Uh-huh. Yes, from the dead. You know what? Hindsight, I feel stupid for picking Jacob Fatu because don't they do champion versus champion at Night of Champions? And wouldn't they want fucking Roman and Cody part 3 for all the Saudis?
They're already setting it up.
Yep.
You're already having the stare downs, and it's for fucking brand supremacy, not title for title.
Hey, maybe Liv Morgan will actually defend her title.
Oh, you know what? Why is everybody hating on her? Leave her alone. She's doing fine.
Hate on her. I just wish they had something for her. This is now two pay-per-views and a Saturday night main event. She has not defended the title. She's not like feuding with anybody ever since she won it at Mania. It's like, all right, can you fucking do something with her?
Pancake Tits Rodriguez has been getting more action than Liv Morgan.
That is a shame.
No, it's not. There's nothing wrong with Pancake Tits.
But like, she's the women's champion. She hasn't defended the belt once since WrestleMania.
And she's in the fucking King of the Ring, which is title match.
Fucking Roman Reigns would go like months at a time without defending his title. It is what it is. Whatever. She's making her money. She's shaking her ass.
Oh, good for her.
You want to see her. I want to see fucking Liv Morgan wrestle.
Agreed.
I want to see her box, man.
What's wrong with you tonight?
Look, this is what came in the mail today. You see this shit?
Nice.
Nice. I saw that advertised. I thought
jumped on it. I came and I couldn't be I came. Oh, yeah. And I couldn't be happier. It fucking fits perfectly, too. I love it. When I got home, it came right out the package, right on my back.
Used to things coming on your back, huh?
Yeah, well, write it all down, Brundo. Somebody's got to pick up the slack. How many things did you write down without me being here?
I think I'm half and half at this point.
Oh, like Saul Ruka?
Thank you, Tony. God damn it. Thank you. It was right there.
Yep. He knows what he did. He teed that up on purpose. Merry Christmas, by the way, Brundo.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
What's the matter, Double T? Jesus.
Nothing. Why?
Did you guys talk AEW already? Please tell me you talked AEW.
No, we didn't talk AEW.
Oh, my God. Why? Hey, Tony's not here. Let's talk AEW so he doesn't trash the whole fucking thing. Nope.
We talked about the mask versus mask match. We caught up with each other, and then Jack was here. Now we're talking picks. Tony went 5-1. Brenda went 4-1.
5-0, yes. Thank you.
Me and HK went 3-2. Brock is back, and he beat Obafemi.
But he didn't look really well doing it.
7 F5s.
Yeah.
7.
One move.
What it takes. Dude, I love when Obi picks the dude up and just hucks him across the ring. I love the way that looks.
I'm over Brock. Give a shit.
No, the third and final match is going to be the big one where Oba's going to put his exclamation point on it. It is what it is.
You think Oba wins the King of the Ring?
If he does, though, do we have Brock as a stop on the way, or does he win a title and then Brock challenges him for that rubber match? Like, how does that work?
See, or does Brock win the title? He wins the King of the Ring. That means he has the title match at SummerSlam.
I don't know if I want to put the title on that. I think the win over Brock doesn't need a title, you know?
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, if he wins the King of the Ring, that's what he gets.
Well,
it's they could do Brock and Nova at King of the Ring or at SummerSlam.
And Raw was this afternoon.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
So did Oba advance? Did he win his match?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, he did.
Did he win his four-way dance? Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
There's 1,000 hours of TV. They can't just have a regular fucking 16-man tournament.
Why would they even need 16? Why can't they just have 8? Like,
well, they got 16 now. They got 4 fucking 4-way matches.
Didn't they do this last year too? It was a 4-way. I think so.
Was it 3 ways last year, and they decided they need more?
No, it's just it's one on one going past the first round.
You fucking hand job. Look what you put in between all the fucking matches for Italy. I see a slice of pizza. Jesus Christ.
Wait a second.
Look at this fucking a burrito, a taco. What the fuck, dude? Nobody caught this?
Oh, that's fantastic. That's
fucking, that really is amazing, dude. Look at that little burrito by Dr. Wagner Jr. Hee-hoes. There's another taco.
I don't know if they were they even up before?
Yeah, they were.
My eyes are bad, man. I can't. I can't see.
That's okay. I fucking wound up developing a sty, so my fucking right eye is practically shut. So
is that why you came in so hot, buddy?
No, just aggravation, just a lot. Well, that and a lot of other things, you know. A lot of stupidity, a lot of unnecessary shit. But well, I mean, I guess it's necessary. But it is what it is. I can still see, even though I got pus dripping out of my eye. No, my eye's not coming, HK. Take it easy.
Old right. pussy Tony.
Oh, fuck yes. Right in the pus.
So did you like Clash in Italy, Tony?
I only watched a little bit of it. I saw the Bex match, and I saw the Ulafala match, and the Obafemi match. So yeah, overall, I liked it. I was okay with it. Santino having a fucking cameo in the crowd was awesome. Playing back, and they talked up his history, you know. Good times. That's all I got. Okay, not all at once. Jesus, I thought everybody froze. I thought my internet fucking went out. It was Jack Cartwheel that fucking boring. I mean, my God.
I was the Clash in Italy
not
was
at all.
I think you're right, Tony. It was okay, but like having. What was it? Last weekend was
Saturday night's main event,
and then right before that was
Backlash,
right? And like right before that was like, it just seems like we had Mania, which is a big deal, and then these ones have all felt like just slide them in pay per views. Like,
yeah, but I mean, they were good matches. I enjoyed the shit out of Brock and Oba. When he fucking got up at 8 and he just walks back in the ring, I was like, what the fuck?
I did not like Brock and Oba. Brock and Oba bugged the piss out of me. What do you use? 7 FE5s?
Yeah, 7 FEs.
Nah. Yeah, give me 7 FEs. Fuck that. Like I didn't like that at all. I was okay with Cody and Gunther. I didn't mind that match at all.
I didn't like the finish of that.
I like when the way it started, when they shouldn't even start the count. And then when the leg came up, I was like, okay, now I don't, you know what I mean? Like it was an interesting kind of play on a finish that we've seen before. And then Roman and Jacob, the part that I liked about that was the end, because it gave me a little bit of intrigue of what was going on with Solo and the rest of the fuckers. So, but as itself, I wasn't like, I wasn't super satisfied with the event. I just wasn't.
Isn't so? I got two questions for you, HK. Isn't that status quo for WWE right now? Like, if it's not Mania, the Rumble, SummerSlam, or Survivor Series, like everything in between is like, I don't know, an episode of Raw or SmackDown. It's the same length. It's 5 matches. It's fine, but it's not like it was fucking 80 degrees yesterday. Like, if I was off and I decided, like, I'm not going to do yard work, I'm going to stay inside and watch Clash in Italy, I probably would have been like, well, that was a fucking waste of 3 hours. I wish I had done it, gone outside and fucking straightened up the yard or done something enjoyable. Like, I don't want fine. I want, like, fuck, that was awesome. I want mask versus mask.
Right. No, I agree. And I think that's what they were hoping that Jacob and Roman would bring. And to me, I don't think that they really did. You know what I mean? Like, on paper, Jacob Roman and Brock and Oba and Cody and Gunther, they all seem like matches that you're gonna have a moonstem for. And going in, I was pretty excited, I think, for the card itself. It just, for whatever reason, it never felt like it was delivering to me from like a PLE pay-per-view type of a standpoint. And that's disappointing. Like, I think that it was there. It just didn't capitalize on what was in front of you. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't capitalize what was on paper in front of you. And that was the disappointing part to me. And I still think that the answer is not 5 matches. I think that the answer is more than 5 and less than fucking 30. You know what I mean? Like that part is a disappointment to me. So it was there. You know what I mean? Again, wasn't super satisfied with it.
And then, the other thing, like Roman and so, like, I thought he already vanquished the fucking Timu bloodline like a year ago.
Yeah.
You're gonna run this back again?
That's who the fucking previous Tribal Combat was against, right? Was Solo? And that was supposed to be like it. And now we're just a year later, we're going back to it.
Well, in that defense, it was one of the best stories that they've told in recent memory. And I don't think it's close, but it's when you had, you know, Sammy was involved. You know what I mean? Like it was fantastic. And I mean, we all sat here watching it going, what's going to happen next? Because we love what they're doing. So I don't know if it's necessarily the right, going back to the well might not be the right thing to do, but I am interested to see, like, if they go back to the well, if the trip's going to be worth it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, if it's going to be worth it, that's what I want to see.
It's not like Solo and the rest of what's left of the MFTs have been like treated as big deals or anything too. When was the last time they did anything of importance? They had the tag titles, but you know, one of them isn't even there anymore. Or actually,
isn't maybe like Tama Tonga feuding with like Nakamura on SmackDown? Yeah. Isn't that like storyline? Like, I don't know.
Or they're feuding with that. Priest, maybe, I think, or I don't know.
SmackDown. You know,
you got rid of the guys I gave a shit about. Jeff Cobb should have been a fucking, like, sign me up for Jeff Cobb, Roman Reigns. Like, if you want to get the Solo, you got to go through Jeff Cobb. Like, fuck yeah. Let me see that. Let me see Jeff Cobb and fucking Jacob Fatu. Nah, we're going to get fucking Tama Tonga and tall asshole and fucking Solo Sikoa. Like, sorry, I don't give a shit. Roman destroyed Solo a year and a half ago when the bloodline hasn't been a fucking thing because Dickhead was yeeting and jerking off and dancing with everybody. And the other one was knocking up fucking Naomi. And then this fucking asshole with the fucking Ula Lafa or whatever fuck it's called. I don't fucking care about this shit.
If Darby Allin was in the bloodline, you'd fucking care.
That's right.
You're right. Maybe I would. And if Bruno Sammartino was on fucking AEW, you'd watch too.
Nah, I didn't watch him in WCW. I can't agree with that.
I agree with that. I think you would. I think you'd watch fucking Skeleton Bruno call some matches with Sockface.
Actually, they're having a huge estate sale for old, like Bruno's old stuff, and a lot of collectibles, a lot of awards, a lot of good stuff.
Oh yeah, what, mother with the hairiest mustache?
Yeah, there's a rolling pin. There's Gabba Ghoul. Is that what you want to hear? Some fucking leftover pizza dough from his first title win in the 60s. Yeah, all that shit. His old perhaps Batman costume from when he used to team up with the Batman in fucking Pittsburgh. All that
perhaps
shit.
Perhaps he has a tear of Bob Backlund, a jar of Bob Backlund.
His fucking wedge of provolone in the basement. His fucking sandals from the old country. His fucking olive trees in the yard. You want me to keep going? The fig trees that he fucking covers in the winter so they don't rot. His wife's dirty fucking drawers because she only changes her pads after 3 periods. Can I keep going?
3 periods?
Yeah, you never heard that joke? Italian girls and goalies, they change their pads after 3 periods.
And why are you fucking mad? Because I don't like the bloodline.
I don't know. You don't like anything. Do you even like wrestling, bro?
I raved about the mask versus mask. WWE's not doing it for me right now. Tony, what are you going to get mad at me for?
You know AAA's part of WWE, right?
Yeah, and it was fucking great. I know TNA is, too. You don't hear us fucking talking about that, do you?
Nope.
All right, fair enough. I mean, Ring of Honor's part of AEW, too. So.
Yeah, I don't even know if people can still watch that.
You don't know if people do watch it. Athena's been champion for like 17,000 days, you know. She's giving the Mighty Maccabee a run for his money.
Maybe you could hold her belt.
Nah.
No, you wouldn't take that?
What, Mighty Maccabee versus Athena?
No, Athena's belt. You wouldn't steal that?
No. If I would have stole a belt, it would have been the Maccabee championship. I should have fucking ran when I had the chance.
Should have, but didn't. I like Jade and Rhea. I thought that was fun, except for fucking stupid couldn't put her fucking foot on a rope like a fucking real winner.
So why are we like preventing Jade Cargill from winning? Like, that's a fucking heel thing to do.
She was already the champion, though, wasn't she? And then she beat up Charlotte, so now she's going to go into a story with Charlotte and Alexa. They're friends. Everyone that's friends is now in WWE. That's the thing now. Your friends go to WWE.
Oh, it's nice to see WWE stealing all the great ideas from AEW.
Right. Back four-way matches to qualify for the King of the Ring. Come on.
And Liv Morgan qualified, didn't she?
Did she
win? No, her match didn't happen tonight.
Oh, that's for SmackDown
tonight. Or this afternoon, I should say.
Right. No, Oba qualified, right? He won today.
Did they have both men's matches today or no?
I think only one.
No. And they didn't have a woman's match today?
The Io.
Io. Oh, Io. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if she makes that noise when she's getting eaten out.
Come on, man. Ask Evil.
Like putting that. Evil just looks like a fucking samurai statue, right? Like he like never really has any kind of change of expression or anything. He just always has that look on his face.
What's like, his name in NXT?
Yo. Holy shit.
What's his name in NXT?
Good.
Stupid.
A fucking boo.
Hey, at least he gave it a shot. What are you gonna do?
They all can't be winners.
Very dishonorable, Mr. Brundle. Oh, right. Shit. You think EO gives him foot jobs?
I bet she does.
Why? If this is what you bring to the table, you should have just stayed home.
I am home, you asshole.
You shouldn't have came in all fucking. We had a great talk about the mask versus mask match, the three of us. Then you're coming in here, you're talking about eating out and fucking who cares about the first black champion. Like, you're so fucking angry.
I'm catching up with my boys. This is what I do. Yeah. I didn't have catch up time at the beginning.
Couple of cellos, boys.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
This is just you bitching and moaning. It's like an episode of Tots over here.
Motherfucker.
You want me to throw and talk about Israel and Palestine? I can pretend that I'm
not the
big
breakdown podcast either. I thought we were blowing up the network.
I'm blowing out my asshole today is what I'm blowing out.
How's that different than any other day?
Oh, it's been rough today, dude. You know when it comes out hot and you know it's gonna smell before it even fucking hits the air?
Hot snakes.
Fuck yeah, dude. Hey, did Jack cartwheel? I bet you he fucking cartwheels naked and he fucking has a diarrhea and he just fucking splatters all over the ceiling of his fucking house.
The amount of push you gotta get to hit the ceiling.
Fucking stalagmites in his fucking hallway.
Told you, magenta would have been great for that interview.
Oh, right. I thought mites were from the bottom, tights are from the top.
It goes all over the place, HK. It's a banana of feces and fucking
spin art. He's making a fucking shit t-shirt.
Hey, Jack Cartwheel and fucking Darby Allin. They could form a tag team. Yeah, doo-doo art, doo-doo farts.
Doo-doo art. There you go.
There you go. See, I bring it back around. All right, can we get AEW out of the way so you assholes we can move on?
Show up late. Fucking move. Try and move the show along. That's fine.
Damn, it's fucking 8:28. We got shit to get to. Let's go.
Why? What kind of shit? I mean, HK watched a great video today about the Ahmed Johnson, D'Lo Brown fighting. I've been watching a lot of 1990s wrestling. I mean, yeah, we could talk about that if you want.
Did they interview Ahmed Johnson for the thing?
No.
Is he like, D'Lo, D'Lo, D'Lo? D'Lo, D'Lo fighting D'Lo. What?
I just threw up in my mouth.
Because of D'Lo, but D'Lo?
No.
Oh, what did you eat today? Tell us.
I had Buffalo Wild Wings before.
Oh, how many did you eat that you're fucking throwing up in your mouth?
A dozen?
Did you chase it down with a monster?
No.
How spicy? You went medium? You went hot?
Garlic parm and spicy garlic.
That's not terrible.
No, it wasn't bad. I don't know. I'm burping. I got like agita.
Probably
I guess.
Ate too much. What'd you have for lunch?
That was like lunch and dinner. Cause
okay.
I'd, yeah.
You have any cheese curds or some tater tots or anything to go with them?
No.
Just the wings. No beers? No couple of beers? Having some wings?
No. No, no beers, Tony.
Well, we are getting older, Double T.
We are. Did we want to talk AEW? Was there anything from Dynamite that tickled your fancy, gentlemen?
See, I mean, I tried listening to fucking, I tried listening to the Wednesday night show, but
they didn't do the show Wednesday night. They were at the show, weren't they?
At what show?
Dynamite.
Oh, they were there?
It was in Philadelphia.
Oh God. Oh, great. I don't know.
It was at the temple place, the temple arena.
The temple.
The college temple. What's the fucking name of the arena? It starts with an L.
I don't know.
Yeah,
Loserville.
Luda Dark.
Yeah, the Ludark Shaitan Temple.
Yeah, what is it called, Tony?
Yes.
Are you looking it up?
No.
Oh.
See this face? Couldn't give less of a shit of the name of the fucking arena at temple.
I've seen that face. He's right.
Maybe it was the Temple of the Dog. Oh, I'm going home. No,
Temple of the Dog.
Going hungry. Come on, Double T. I don't mind stealing bread
from the mouth of Adam.
Poor Double T dying, fucking eating his hot wings.
Not dying, fine.
You were burping up fucking acidic treasures.
Yeah, I was. So I keep drinking my water.
You say acidic treasures?
I said acidic treasures.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
So what happened in AEW this week after MJF won the title back and all that other shit?
I want to see if there's any. We don't have to spend an exorbitant amount of time talking about AEW, but if
I just figured if there was
the panel wants to talk about without you fucking screaming into, oh, fucking Darby Allin and fucking MJF, everybody's friends, then we can have that conversation. If we don't want to talk about AEW, we can move on.
I brought it up so you guys can
perfect
talk about it.
JCW was on this week as well.
Gave up on that. Fuck that shit. Nope. Honestly, didn't even. Was Joel Gertner on this week? Because I didn't even get to him. I have no idea if he appeared.
Yeah, he was.
We have the women fighting on the front lawn of a fucking housing complex. And we have one of the fucking Robbo Yabos handcuffed to a fucking radiator while they beat the shit out of him. And he's going, where's my brother? I said, nope. Fuck this. Fuck JCW. Done.
I said
it had nothing to do with the fucking ring gals because they were on point again this week, at least up until that point. Oh, and I saw Ernest Miller. What the fuck are we doing?
Did you blink and miss him?
I'm the greatest.
I sat through the entire episode, Tony. The entire.
No, doing all this shit with fucking Kerry Morton's challenge, wanting 2-on-1 matches and the baseball bat. Fuck that. It's way too Russified for me. I fucking punched out.
What do you expect with Russo writing the show?
No, but dude, it's been fun. Last week was a little iffy. This week, I was just like, nah.
But that's what he does. Look
at Yabo the Slabo. And I'm looking at this, and I'm like, are we watching a show about the Juggalos? Or now are we just watching Vince Russo make this all a fucking Dago Wop Fest? Like, and that's what it is. That's what it's become, dude.
It's,
I can't do it. I punched out. I'm like, nope, not like Double T said earlier. I got better shit to do. Not wasting my time.
See, I watched the whole fucking thing. And the part that sucks is that you're 100% fucking right. Like, it's way, way too much Vinny Roo, as he calls himself now. But like, it didn't happen as quickly as I thought it was going to happen. You know what I mean? Like there was weeks where like, okay, this is all right. This is all right. This is all right. And now he like fucking cranked the knob off and it's all Vinny Roo. So and I'm not giving up yet. I'm not going to give up yet.
And look,
the one thing I will say, like, even when it's bad, and right now it is super bad, it's one of those ones where it's almost like a car wreck. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like, how fucking bad could this be? And when he's sitting there screaming, where's my brother? Where's my brother?
Dude, and he just kicked him in the ribs and he goes, where's my brother? Like, not even selling it. Like, come on, you fucking douche nozzle.
It's fucking horrible, right? It's
and
fucking
just
horrible.
Enough with this shit. I'm looking at Vito and I'm like, you're not even a fucking mafia guy. You were Skull Von Crust, for Christ's sake. Like, what? Like, what is this shit? It's way too over the top. And the things that I did like, I like that the outbreak was in rehab And I was kind of like, okay, we're going somewhere with this. But then like Danny Mo just comes in. She's like, oh, nobody wanted this belt, so now I have it. Fuck all the way off.
Wait, what belt does she have?
The fucking the Lunacy Bitches belt, right?
Yeah.
She picked it up off
somebody else had that.
She picked it up off the ground. Somebody lost it. And she's like, well, I found this, so it's mine.
No, they didn't lose it. It was because they had the fucking thing in the courtyard, which that sucked ass.
Yeah, the fucking Marriott Mayhem match.
Yeah, them mash them up.
Dude, it could have been in front of a dormitory. It could have been in front of Section 8 housing. It just looked like a fucking housing project. And they were
fucking on. That was fucking Section 8, Tony. That was either Section 8 or that was fucking like a juvenile camp, right?
Oh my god, it was fucking horrible. It was horrible. Wait, my brother. Oh, fuck all the way off.
All right, so homework then, is it?
All right. Oh, Julio, was the ring rat there? You know what? Maybe that would have put a spot. Dude, no Disco Ray, no Luigi Primo. Come on. At least Luigi's shit with Vito is funny.
No Green Phantom anymore? Or is he gone?
Phantom was there. He was there.
Oh, okay.
Did he lose? Please tell me
he lost. He didn't have a match. He just had a vignette.
Oh, with Violent J?
No, it was just him in the back.
Oh, my God. And fucking Vince Russo, stop calling him Joe. Call him fucking Jay. Call him Violent. Do not call him Joe. Stop with the bullshit. Joe, bro.
Like you didn't like the big giant story about Vinnie Rue needing to become the Batman again?
Oh my god.
Like that was a fucking story. Piece of shit. That Dude, was fucking
But like
miserable.
Like anybody fucking cares. You think like 3/4 of the people that are watching JCW even fucking realize who Vince Russo was or what he did 26 years ago? Mm. No, yeah. They don't.
No.
Yeah. I think those are the only motherfuckers tuning in.
Well, it's the people that listen to his fucking It's like everything. Like it's like the people that listen to Jim Cornette, they hate everything that Jim Cornette hates, right? The people that listen to Vince Russo and Jonathan Coachman, they watch fucking JCW so they can regurgitate all the Russo-isms that he puts out into the fucking world. The two of them, Coach and Russo, like, oh, we know what's best for pro wrestling because we've been in the industry forever.
So like that Mark Shapiro guy changing everything for WWE to bring in new fans, and so what if we lose the old fans? That is that exactly what's happening here with JCW and Vince Russo?
Oh, 100%.
Right? Like
you fucking nailed it on the head. You don't see any more like I feel like there was a lot, you know, like hardcore.
Where's Disco Ray?
Stuff. Yeah.
Where's Disco Ray? Give me Madman Pondo. Where's fucking Mickey Knuckles?
Hell yeah, where's Mickey Knuckles' butthole?
All right, let's leave a little something for fucking later.
Probably located where it always has been, Brundlefly. You don't move buttholes.
Yeah, but I want to make sure it's there.
Yeah, we got to make sure it's okay. At least she's been protecting the moneymaker wearing the tights now. Thanks for pointing that out, HK. I didn't even catch that when that happened.
I don't know. Like, the Juggalos are loyal to a fault, so maybe they're still watching this bullshit?
I don't know, man.
Because it's related to Insane Clown Posse, but at some point, like,
it's really not. It's just a name only at this point because Joe's in the fucking background.
Don't call him Joe.
It's fucking Joe. Joe, bro, Joe. I've known you forever, bro. And we're getting fucking Ernest the Cat Miller a payday for the four fucking. He's just regurgitating Jeff Jarrett. That's all this is. Are we going to get a Tito Santana appearance next week?
You could only be so lucky.
Can we dig up Jimmy Snuka from the fucking grave to bring him back for a fucking one of these showdowns?
You don't want that, brother.
I really don't, but this is where we're going. What other fucking Vincent Russo fucking nonsense from 1998, 1999 is going to come back?
James Brown.
Mike Sanders.
Oh, my God. Yeah, above average next week, bro. Because my guy is the chosen. The same, even the same vernacular, dude. Chosen one. Come on. It breaks my heart, dude, because I was really enjoying this shit. It had a good vibe. It wasn't taking itself seriously. Now, a lot of hot garbage. A lot of hot garbage.
Tony, the good news is you can still watch AEW.
Oh, absolutely.
But also,
I can tune into Mark Order in case there was something I missed.
I know you're a busy guy. Maybe you had a busy weekend. Maybe you missed it.
I'm always busy.
All right, maybe
I spent 3 hours of my Sunday reviewing fucking employment contracts. You think I'm not a busy guy?
MLW Fusion is back.
Oh yeah, whoopty fucking damn do. We're gonna put that garbage back on free TV now.
Oh, I heard our guy William Mercier said it was a good watch.
Do we trust William Mercier?
I watched.
He's been hanging out with that fucking High Five Tom too much. I think he's
there's nothing wrong with Milwaukee.
Yeah. Next thing you know, fucking Will Mercier is gonna be fucking walking around New England in a Hawaiian shirt and flip flops.
Who says he already doesn't?
He probably does. Yes. I don't know. Has anybody seen Will in a while?
HK, did you dabble in the MLW?
I did. And I'll watch the rest of it probably tomorrow morning, I'm thinking. Yeah, I watched the first, I don't know, maybe half hour. And the presentation was there. The commentary was there. The fans were into it. I went, you know what? This is something that could definitely fill a void here. I don't know when I'm going to find the fucking time, because I want to, you know, obviously want to catch AAA and I'm at AEW and WWE.
Don't
there's
you
so
walk
much.
For like 6 hours a morning?
You watch in the morning.
Yeah, a lot of wrestling, and then I gotta pepper in D'Lo Brown interviews, of course. So
I gotta ask HK something.
Yeah.
How many minutes of those Bob Backlund DVDs have you watched?
It's none yet.
It's okay. Tony, how many minutes of those Superstar DVDs did you watch?
Oh, I've watched the Tito Santana one a bit, but I haven't gotten past him yet.
Any good?
Yeah. Some of the quality is not as great as they touted it to be, but it's been pretty good.
Well, and the problem is that like, I want to watch it, right? Want to watch it, but then you're like, okay, I got to do this, or I got to watch, you know, catch up on AEW or Raw or JCW or, you know.
Yeah, but you walk for 6 hours. You walk for 6 hours a morning, though.
It's not quite 6 hours a morning.
How long?
I see what you're saying. Between probably 2 and 2.5.
Okay. Okay. Listen, man, I can't fault anybody for having shit to do, because the past couple of months, like, my shit has been blowing up. So, like, I get it. It's a struggle for me just to watch a handful of shit as it is, you know?
Yeah.
I understand.
I try to stay on top of everything. I still haven't been able to get the DVD player hooked up to the damn TV down there. You know, it's just, yeah, you get down there. And then, like I say, every now and again, you want to pepper in something that's not wrestling. I've been peppering a little bit Comic Book Men, right? Love that show. So, you can't fault me there either.
No, not at all.
But I know what HK did do. He finally canceled his TNA Impact Plus.
Woo! Where did you find the QR code for that?
Oh, man, those motherfuckers are tricky, right? They're tricky. So I went out, got on my phone, and I just decided to start. All of a sudden, there was apps that I didn't know that were on my phone, because they had like an update. And I was like, what the fuck is this game? I don't know what this is. Get this off my phone. So I was like, I should probably do a little deep dive into the applications that are on my phone. So I started to uninstall. Don't know what this is. Uninstall it. I came across the TNA app and I was like, fuck this. I hate you, mother. I can't cancel you. Uninstall. When I clicked uninstall, it was like uninstalling doesn't unsubscribe you. I was like, well, of course it fucking doesn't. It's like, but if you manage your subscription, I went, whoa, wait now. If I do what? And I clicked the manage subscription, and I had to go back into like this other Google gimmick. And then I clicked cancel subscription. It's over. Me and TNA are done, right? It's been like 2 years I've been paying for this bullshit. Haven't watched it. Done. Over. Bye, TNA.
I hope TNA is the next year of Gook and Rogue.
Oh, nope, it's not. That's another thing I watched. Stuff for the year to grow. God damn, I try, guys. I try.
It's too much. It's too much fucking wrestling.
No, yep. And that's I have been enjoying the Inside the Ropes like interviews. Like they'll put up like a 10-minute spot, and they're like, you know, so and so discusses this about this, and it's fucking hilarious all the time. So like listening to D'Lo Brown talk about the fight between him and Ahmed, fucking golden, absolutely hilarious to watch.
What are they fighting about?
D'Lo really does not like Ahmed Johnson at all. Like it's
nobody in the nation did.
Very interesting to hear him talk about Ahmed Johnson, but he says that Rock and Ahmed were supposed to have a match, and Ahmed got all pissy, and he said that's fine. They were gonna him and Rock will figure it out in the ring, and then he said he'll moke his ass. D'Lo Brown goes, "Now I speak Ebonics. I know what that means when he says smoke somebody's ass." And then he goes, "But Triple H is in the locker room, and he likes to stir it up a little bit." And he just looks over. He goes, "Excuse me, Ahmed. What exactly does it mean when you say you're going to moke his ass?" I won't do the story justice, but it is hilarious. And I guess Ahmed swung a fucking can of paint at D'Lo's head. And that's the D'Lo move back. It's fucking fantastic. Hilarious story.
Fascinating.
Yeah, it was. Like D'Lo, the way D'Lo says it, like he saw him swinging, but he was swinging it at his head so slow. In his mind, he was able to go, "Is he actually swinging a paint can at me?" Like, was able to duck it and throw him back. And then he talks about getting called to the office and fucking Farouk telling him, like, "Oh, you got your first fight and you won. Like, keep moving." So it was good. It's a fun watch. All right.
Good shit.
Yep.
Smoke.
Yep. Hey, so I've been watching a lot of 1990 wrestling, right? I'm doing like WCW Saturday Night and then Superstars, right? The WWF does this weird thing where they set up all these feuds, but then like they never really like happen on TV. Like at the beginning of 90, they set up like a Rick Martel Beefcake feud, and I guess it's leading to the Rumble. Which is fine, but then like after that, like doesn't Beefcake wrestle fucking perfect at WrestleMania 6? Like there's no like payoff. And I thought that was weird because I feel like they do that all the time. They did that all the time in like the 90s and 80s. Like they would set up these TV feuds, but then there was never like a payoff. Right? Like
maybe it was go ahead. Sorry.
No, like they were setting up like Piper and Rude for the Rumble. But then, like, doesn't Piper fight Bad News at 6? Like, it's just real fucking weird to me.
Maybe they're setting it up for, like, house shows or whatnot, because that's what everybody was watching, or that's where they got their money's worth, was, you know, oh, you see these guys on TV, you really want to see them fight, come to the house show.
Yeah, like, did Savage ever have a feud with Doink on TV? No, right? But I remember them setting up promos on the Saturday shows where they were talking about like they're going to wrestle at the Garden or they're going to wrestle at the Meadowlands. They're going to wrestle at the Spectrum. That's the infamous fucking promo that Doink cuts where he's fucking singing Macho Man. He's going, "I'm going to beat the Macho Man." Fucking amazing. And that was Matt Bourne Doink. That was like early Doink.
So, yeah, I guess. I mean, but I wanted to, like, you know, I wanted to see these things fucking pay off on TV. If you're setting up all these feuds on TV.
House shows, bro. Get them in. No, get them in the building. Has to be,
like, a payoff on TV, no?
No, not really.
Yeah, not always.
Get them in the arenas. Get them buying tickets. Get them buying the programs and the toy belts and the popcorns and the T-shirts.
Yeah, I started the 90 Royal Rumble the other night.
90 was Big John Studd? No, 90 was Hogan.
90's Hogan. Yeah. The opening match is the Bushwhackers against the Fabulous Rougeaus, and I instantly thought of HK because the Bushwhackers bite both the Rougeaus and Danny Davis doesn't call for a DQ. And I was like, fucking rules! Fucking rules!
Is that the match where one of the Bushwhackers gets a handful of the Rougeaus?
No, that was WrestleMania.
That was WrestleMania? Okay.
Yeah. He said it wasn't on purpose either. He, like, in an interview, he said he was trying to post up and he got the wrong post.
Boy, did the Bushwhackers fucking suck. They
They were amazing. Stop it. Yeah, when you were a kid, I bet you walked around the living room with Jesse like this.
No.
Yeah, you
100% did.
Fuck yeah, they did.
Bushwhackers like this, Oba like this. There's no real difference, right?
Bushwhackers. Yeah, there is. The Bushwhackers had to air out their armpits. One of the funniest fucking calls I ever heard on commentary. How's this for a team? It was fucking Luscious Johnny V and the Brain calling a fucking, oh God, who was Barry Windham's father? Blackjack Mulligan, a Blackjack Mulligan match. And fucking Blackjack finishes with an elbow. And fucking Johnny V goes, well, Brain, I don't know if it was the armpit or the elbow that knocked him out, but there's your winner.
Yeah, I like that. I like old wrestling. I think that's like, you know, I think that's my wheelhouse.
Yeah, of course it is.
Right, like sometimes watching like the current wrestling, WWE, AEW, JCW, you know, it's like sometimes it feels like a fucking chore. Like today I have to play catch up because I've been, you know, just like everybody else. You're busy, right? Like I felt like Clash in Italy was like a chore. I did really love the mask versus mask match. But like, man, I was like, when I'm done with this, like, instead of watching Raw, if Raw was on right now, I'd watch like some fucking old wrestling. Like, yeah, that makes me happier.
Yeah, I'm with you, Double T. You know that. You know that.
Which is why I love homework. Tony took us back. Tony, where'd you take us, buddy?
King of the Ring 2001.
Yeah, you did.
The fucking street fight. Shane O'Mac against Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle. And I got to tell you right off the bat, this version of Shane McMahon, much better than the Shane McMahon we got 15 years later. Much better.
That's because it's 15 years later, Shane.
And he's not throwing shitty punches.
Oh, my God. His punches were amazing compared to fucking what he was throwing now. Although he was still hitting potatoes. He busted up Kurt Angle pretty early in the match, too, and Angle got pissed off at him. And I got to tell you, first of all, the reason I picked this, I was under the gun because I wasn't here, 2 weeks ago? And then it was like, oh, Tony, homework's up. So I was like, you know what? Let's go to this one. I don't think we've done this one ever. And just for the fucking excitement and the brutality and my opinion, honestly, I picked it because I thought it was a great fucking match. You know, horrific fucking scene aside when they eventually make their way up the aisle. Because that's like the fucking absolute brutality of this match. But everything else was good. Kurt was laying shit in. Shane was laying shit in. Like, it was fucking hard hitting. But everything made sense. And I think they told a great story in the ring. Not to mention, I completely forgot that Kurt Angle was in the fucking King of the Ring tournament. So he had wrestled two matches as well as this match.
For some reason, I had a memory of this starting like right after the Edge match. But it didn't. Because I know Shane O'Mac interfered in that match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was this match is fantastic. This is one of my favorite matches. Duke and I covered it not too long ago. And it is such a great blend of like street fight, like actual wrestling, like fucking hardcore wrestling. Like it's a beautiful, beautiful blend of what like a no hold barred style match can be. There was a couple of times I couldn't help but laugh. Like when Kurt Angle was in the ring and he got down on all fours and he got in the go ahead and fuck me position, right? It's like, come on, get here. Go for it. Shit. Like absolutely hilarious. The only real like gripe I have with the match is probably like, I don't think that they needed to go over the top finish. Like when they got to the, you know what I mean? Like you throw them through the glass and the entryway. And then you throw him back through the other side and you roll him back through. And then all of a sudden Shane gets to have more offense after that. Like it's at that point, it seemed like a little bit too much because Shane's not like a real wrestler, right? You know what I mean? Like it just seemed like a little much. You're building Shane up too much within the confines of the match. If there was one, you know, critique, but I fucking love this match. It's absolutely fantastic.
Well, I think the only thing you could say to that is that Shane had plenty of time to recover when Kurt Angle took out that fucking wheelie cart and fucking Jim Ross is like, he's going to run him over. Enough's enough. And I was like, but like, I didn't mind JR saying that so much because in the heat of the moment where these guys are just like beating the shit out of each other with anything and everything they could find, it would make sense for him to think that Kurt Angle's like, you know, as heated and as strong as he was coming at Shane, like it wouldn't be beyond him to try to fucking run him over with this cart, you know, but he got him on the cart. He had to wheel him all the way back to the ring, get him in the ring and then cover him at that point. So maybe Shane all had a chance to recover, you know,
the pin outside of the ring after he threw him through the second plate, like the second glass piece there. And the referee not counting, like it honestly looked like Kurt Angle was fucking pissed. I was like, would you just fucking count him? You know what I mean? Like, he stood up and it just looked like he was fucking aggravated.
I feel like if they wanted to call an audible there and just be like, yeah, pins all of a sudden count on the outside, that would have been the perfect ending for that as well.
Yeah.
But it's strange too, right? Because like you hear the scuttlebutt about this match, where as those glass spots were happening, Vince McMahon apparently was yelling to anybody who would fucking listen to fucking enough's enough with this shit. Because Shane, he really thought Shane was getting murdered out there.
Yeah.
Oh, that and first fucking spot where he doesn't go through the glass and he just fucking bonks his dome. Oh.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I thought for the longest time, maybe it's me remembering wrong, that he tried to throw him through twice going in the first time and they may have edited one out. Does that ring a bell to anyone?
No, he did throw him twice through.
No. What I mean is, like, the first time he tried to throw him through, he landed on his head. Right. I thought there was a second attempt that also didn't go through before he finally got him through on the third one. I mean, I could be remembering
that. That's on the way out.
No, I know there was one on the way out as well. And then he said, fuck it. And he just heaved him through.
Right.
But I thought there were two attempts before he finally broke through on the third one, sending him out.
Yeah.
And then trying to send them back. There was that fucking one where he drops him on his head again. And he finally just said, fuck it. And he just tossed them through.
Well, I'll have to check. I have it on DVD if I can ever hook up the fucking DVD player and take a look.
Please don't hurt yourself.
I know.
I remember this too. This pay-per-view was like it for the WWE, where they said, like, all right, we got to scale back. Because besides this one, Kurt Angle, I think he bruised his tailbone during this one. He was concussed. In the main event, I know I'm pretty sure Austin breaks his hand with Booker T.
Yep.
This was Benoit too, his last match for like a year. So I think after this one, it's like, all right, we gotta fucking calm down here, guys.
Did anyone else find it really funny the way they were playing up, like, this might be the last time we see Shane on WWF TV because he's starting up WCW?
I forgot this was in the middle of all that.
Yeah.
Until I plunked it down and watched it. Definitely lived up to the moniker, a street fight, for sure.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. 100%. Shane was actually throwing pretty decent punches. And I think my favorite, like, guilty pleasure spot was when Kurt Angle offered his back the second time after just fucking waylaying Shane and beating the shit out of him for like 5 minutes after the first try. And Shane goes to fucking grab him and then he just punts him in the ribs and you can fucking feel that thud when he hits him. Oh, it was so good. So fucking good.
I really liked, at one point Shane gets him in the ankle lock and Angle just breaks right the fuck out of it instantly. I feel like that's something that should happen more often. Like, if somebody gets you in your own hold, you should be able to just like get right out of it. And Angle was like, oh yeah, fuck you.
And I do appreciate at one point Kurt Angle hit him with a gut wrench suplex early on. It wasn't Iron Sheik quality, but I do like that he pulled that one out and he fucking used that in the match. I like a good gut wrench suplex. Not enough people do that move anymore. Matter of fact, I don't think anybody does that move anymore.
I'll keep my eyes open for it.
No, but seriously, like, when the Iron Sheik would do it in a match, like, it was just so perfectly the way he executed it and the way he falls with the guy and plants him down. Good shit. Real good shit. But that's good just shit, for me. Bubba. You know what? No arguments here, bro. I picked this one. I love this one. I gave this 2 all the way up.
Yeah, I'm with you. It was a 26-minute match. It breezed. It fucking flew. Tons of action. Tons of holy shit moments. I'm with you, T-Donk.
2 thumbs up for sure. Absolutely.
Ooh, I got 8 thumbs up on this one? Fuck yeah.
Puss eyes.
Shut up. It's puss eye. Huh, puss eye, pussy, puss eye.
Puss eye.
Ah, puss eye.
Hello, puss eye.
Who's up next? Oh, what you got for us, Double T? Please don't fucking send us to fucking Jim Cornette land again.
No, I'm not. I'm reading the Barry Darso book. So I want to go back to WrestleMania 4. And the Strike Force Demolition WWF World Tag Team Championship match.
Fucking love it. I fucking love it.
So, yeah, it's on the Netflix, and I'll see if I can find a YouTube gimmick just in case you, you're not subscribed to the Netflix. And that'll be your homework for next week. And don't forget, friends, we are 4 weeks away from the 800th episode, and we're doing an Ask Wizards Anything. So if you got questions for us, you can send them over to our Gmail, wizardspodcast@gmail.com. And we'll answer all your Ask Wizard Anything's questions on our 800th episode. And we're going to play games. And we're going to have fun. And it's going to be an extravaganza.
I think we should leave it open-ended, though. I don't know how many people still send emails these days, but...
Well, what do you got to get in the chat? Come in the chat?
Yeah, if you're in the chat and you want to send us some questions, send us some questions. If you're in the Discord, you want to shoot us some questions in the Discord, drop them in the Shining Wizards podcast fucking group. There you go. Just get them to us. Get them to us. Yeah, and people, we will answer all questions.
People in the chat would be great to help bump up the numbers for a live show. Come on.
Fuck yeah. Tell your friends. Join Brundo's extended family and join us in the chat.
Damn right.
Did we get anybody today? Did we have anybody in the beginning?
James
Rod or whatever his name is.
We had to do it. Shout out Harshi.
Harkushi.
Yeah.
Who the hell's Harkushi?
I'm not really sure, but we did shout him out.
Oh my God, there's interesting comments in here, especially from Molly. I'm going to have to listen back later on. I'm going to have to listen back. We don't have pay-per-views or anything this week, right? Like everybody's kind of like hopefully on a break for a few weeks.
Yeah, no pay-per-views this weekend. No pay-per-views next this week.
Might be Forbidden Door would be the next one. So. Or...
Forbidden Door and Slammiversary are the same weekend, right?
Yeah, but we don't pick TNA anymore.
Yeah, fuck that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Does this mean King of the Ring's got to be coming up next then, no?
The Saudi show?
It's got to be. I don't think
that's the 19th, maybe?
In July? Let me type.
June 27th. Shit.
Okay. End of the month.
Yeah, in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia.
Oh, afternoon show. Nice.
That's right.
This is so dumb.
What? That's a day before 800, isn't it?
If a Raw superstar wins, he challenges for the World Heavyweight Championship. If a SmackDown superstar wins, he challenges for the Undisputed WWE.
Like, what happens if Liv Morgan wins?
Yeah, like what the fuck? Oh, no, because she's...
Champion.
Maybe fucking Puerto Rican tits over there fucking gets the challenger.
They're in the same match.
Oh, no.
No, they're not.
They're not?
They're not? I thought they were in the same four-way. No,
Liv, Becky, Alexa.
Bruno, did you read the fucking notes?
No, I read the fucking review for...
He copies and pastes, doesn't read.
Yeah, pretty much. But even Bailey, the WWE notes bore me.
Bailey, Raquel, JC Jane, Kiana James.
Oh, okay.
Roxanne they must have been... lost this afternoon.
I read the Raw review today, and Liv was talking about how she's going to win everything and giving shit to Raquel or whatnot.
Yes, because Raquel was in the match where Io Sky won, so it looks like we're starting to get that, maybe.
At least okay, we're getting something. Terrific.
I don't know. You'll have to watch and see.
Okay, great.
Not me.
Not me either.
Not me. I'll stick to my 1990 WWF.
Okay.
Terrific.
Yeah. Don't forget, folks, Wednesday, whip them out.
You're going to try and bring that back?
We should commandeer that. Yeah.
Whip them out, Wizards.
Oh, I kind of like it. Can we do that? No, we don't want people whipping them out.
We got dropped on?
Dude.
What?
Who do you want to see whip them out?
Everyone.
No.
I'll take them all, male or female.
No.
Oh. Fuck yeah.
Wow.
I know I would ask Double T to take his shirt off, but he'll get in trouble again.
He gets in trouble with his wife.
Yeah.
Not taking off my shirt. I almost did a cartwheel.
No, you fucking didn't.
No, you didn't. Did you put your hands in the air and get tired?
No, I decided it'd be a bad idea if I fell over. And
actually, that would have been a fantastic fucking idea.
Yeah, you could have cut your nuts off.
Oh my god, just hear like a thump, and then ow, ow, and then like not help him, just leave the camera on him while he's on the floor.
Mommy,
help.
I would never.
My god, fucking Rihanna would come upstairs and just shake her head and just fucking stare at him. He wasn't, and then just walk away.
I was, there is, how do I put this?
Feet?
It is, because this might be a better conversation for off the air.
She knocked you over with a foot job.
I know. I was thinking for 800.
Uh-oh.
There is a woman. Who is been involved in the wrestling community, but she's also works in the sex industry. And I know for a fact that she has done foot job videos.
Jasmine St. Clair?
No. Oh. No, we're not going down that avenue together.
That hallway.
So I don't know if there was, you know, maybe I was, I don't know if we wanted to do a guest. I don't know if I want to surprise you. I don't know how.
Well, you shouldn't have fucking said anything then. I mean.
Well, I don't know. Like, you know, and then like, can we be adults? Can you have an adult conversation with somebody who works in, not me, you, Tony, because you're a fucking maniac. Can you have a conversation, an adult conversation with somebody who does sex work for a living?
Yeah.
Do you mean like adult, like because we're adults, or do you mean like a formal conversation with somebody who like does sex things for a living?
Like you, not to like you, like actually have like a normal conversation with her.
Like what? Ask her where she did her wrestling training and shit.
Oh, asshole! Like,
no, wait a second. Wait a second now, Tony, because I'm a little bit disappointed in this right now, because I want to remind you that Tony and I are the only two motherfuckers that have done this show in suits with nothing but class.
Yep.
You doubt, Tony? Get the fuck out of here.
I'm sorry. Thanks, do you want to go back and listen to when he showed up at 8 o'clock as soon as the interview was over, bitching and moaning about half black champions and every other misery?
I can't wait to.
And then does he eat her out, and does she do this? Like, come on.
Oh, I hope so.
Dude, what else are you gonna ask a sex worker about? The war in Iran? Like, seriously? I want to ask her what it's like getting a foot job, getting some fucking creamy discharge on her toesies.
Why would you say creamy discharge?
Because you want me to say cumsies? To answer your question, Double T, I'm not sure.
Come on, Tony.
Only one way to find out.
Yeah, tune in for episode 800 in 4 weeks. Get your questions in for us and our guest.
Tune in for 800, hope for 801.
Oh my god, Julio probably has some fucking gems in for this guest. Oh my god, Matthew Birch is going to be a fucking freak. He's going to be asking us shit that even we find heinous.
Ooh, Matthew Birch?
Yes.
Never. No, Matt's a nice guy. Stop.
Man, I don't know. Maybe he's got some kinks we don't know about.
Don't do that. Don't. Why would you don't do that?
I didn't do it. I'm just saying it could be a possibility. It's like breadsticks at the Olive Garden. Limitless.
What are we doing?
I don't know. You brought this up, dude. This is all on you.
It's harder and harder every week to come upstairs.
Oh, yeah.
Just wait till we get that guest.
He's like, downstairs, I can't control myself. Just shoots all the time. But upstairs, it's getting really hard to come.
I don't understand how people listen to this.
With their ears?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't look at the Spotify listen downloads, buddy. They're not listening.
And with that, we fucking, yeah.
Yeah, we have to do this. It's the same fucking people every week.
Yes, we do.
This has been a production of the Shining Wizards Network. For everything Shining Wizards, visit ShiningWizards.com. And don't forget to listen to all the great shows of the Shining Wizards Network.
Thank you for watching. Executive producer Manny Crozzo, producers Kate Enzler, High Five Tom, Ryan Schlong, Al Day, High Five Tom, Jesse Elwell, Emily Brock, I Dunk Biscuits, Kathy Homer, Keith Parker, David Henry Bauer III. Thank you.
A good night, Diana.
What happened to the music? Did we lose Tony? We lost
Tony.
Looks
like it.
Tony froze.
It looks like he's eating his hand.
All right.
Yeah, no, I'm here somewhere. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Dude, everything's fucked.
Everybody sucks. You don't really know why.
Dude, it's completely fucked. I got the color wheels.